The internet has literally millions upon millions of sites offering entertainment, information, and insights. And yet you ended up here. Oh, that's gonna sting just a little bit, huh? Well, make the most of it. It's the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, don't make a big deal out of it.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I'm going to take about a half an hour of your life and screw it up royally. Hey, here's a little trivia question for you. Name all the vegetables in V8 juice. I believe there's 8 of them. I know one is tomato. That's about it. So yeah, tomato, carrot, celery. God. That would be V3 juice. Because I don't know the rest. And I didn't look it up, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you what the rest of the vegetables are. Do it on your own time. This is costing me. Anyway, thanks for coming by. Make yourself comfortable, please. Thank you. All right. I'm not sure what day of the week this is. I think it's Thursday, because I believe yesterday was Wednesday. They said it properly, Wednesday. And I believe the day before that was never mind. Anyway, and I think it's 2027. I don't even know what year it is. You know why? It doesn't matter. The trees look the same. That's all I care about. Well, here's an interesting thing that happened to me yesterday. You see, if I could have a t-shirt made that says, I don't particularly care for people, I would wear it day and night and take on the role of the sarcastic son of a bitch that I tend to be. But I don't advertise it because I'm not into it, man. I mean, you know. So I'm sitting, I go out for lunch yesterday, and I'm going to a nice place, and I sit at the bar because I don't want to sit at a table by myself because it looks pathetic. And it doesn't matter if you're a male or a female or any of those other things that people associate with. It doesn't look good to sit, and I don't care how it looks. It's just, I don't know what to do. You know, I sit at the table and I look around and play with my phone a little bit, and it's pathetic. So I eat at the bar, even though I'm not having an alcoholic beverage. They do serve you there, but it's where people who are eating by themselves tend to sit. I walk into the place at 11:30 in the morning. That's when the restaurant opens up. And I like to go at 11:30 because I'm kind of the only person there at that hour, and I get the special attention that I deserve that my parents didn't give me when I was younger. So I sit at the bar, and the bartender usually comes over, and we have a little conversation, and you know. So, so I'm sitting there, and the bartender gives me the menu, and I say, thank you very much. And the bartender says, no problem, no worries. And I say, no, just say thank you. Just say thank you. I kind of instruct them on how to respond to typical conversation. So we're sitting there. I'm sitting there by myself. The bartender's standing up. And all of a sudden, these two guys come walking into the restaurant. They're businessmen. They're dressed like businessmen. They have the suits and the ties and all that kind of stuff. And they're slapping each other on the back because apparently they know each other. That's the international symbol for knowing each other. You slap each other on the back, you know, and you act chummy and all that kind of stuff. And they walk in and they head toward the bar. Now, this bar has about 20, 25 seats at the bar. It's a good size bar. And I'm, and they're walking over, and they come like into my area where I'm sitting, and I'm saying to myself, no, don't sit here, don't, don't sit near me, no, it's a big bar, no. And they do. 25 seats at the bar, I'm in a seat, there's 24 other seats to choose from. Choose the ones that aren't really too close to me, because let's spread out, huh? Let's spread it out. But no, they decide to sit next to me. That's, I don't know how to put it. At first, it's just off-putting, and then it becomes extremely uncomfortable, and then it becomes stalkish. You know, like, I mean, seriously. All these other seats, but they choose to sit next to me. If these people were good at reading other people, they wouldn't have sat next to me, because my facial expression was like, what the? And the bartender, whom I know rather well at this point, looked at my face and the expressions that I was making, and she responded without saying anything, like, I know. She even thought it was weird. I was uncomfortable, and I wanted to leave, but I didn't. I sat it out, man, but it's not the kind of thing I usually do. I usually just get up and leave and say, oh, no, this isn't for me. No, people sitting too close. I'm out of here. I didn't do that. I forced myself. It wasn't so much the fact that they were sitting next to me. No, actually it was. To be honest, what's wrong with these people that they sit right next to you? I think their mentality was that this is the planet is a communal concept, and humans gather with other humans. And that's where they start the chain of sitting. So in other words, if they sit right next to me, the next people will sit right next to them, and the chain shall go on until all the seats are taken. But, you know, come on. I'm not a communal kind of guy. Maybe that's the T-shirt I should be wearing. Don't sit next to me. I don't even think they would have taken that hint. Here is the problem. They were businessmen. They're nice people and stuff, but they were talking business. So, like, now I'm sitting having my lunch, and I feel like I'm part of the business meeting, to the point where if I just turned a little bit to my left, I could have entered the conversation. It was just weird. And the bartender is kind of laughing at me. She knows that this is not exactly a plethora of excitement for me. So she's kind of laughing, like, oh, of all the people in the world to sit next to Ron, why do they sit next to Ron? And she thought it was kind of odd, too. Usually you spread out a little bit at a bar. You don't sit right next to the only person sitting there. It is stalkish. It really is. It is stalkish. If you were a stalker and you were stalking somebody, you would sit right next to them. It was very, very, very strange. Very, 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 very strange. And for the rest of the day, I was in wonderment, like, why did these guys do that? Why did they sit right next to me? Even as I'm talking about it now, it seems a little petty. But it wasn't. Anyway, that was yesterday. I kind of screwed up my day, to be honest with you. Yeah, don't get the impression that I don't like people, because I don't. But it's because people have so much crap attached to them. I don't have time for you. I have my own crap attached to me. I don't need your crap attached to me as well. I can only take so much crap. So I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. I don't have that communal kind of thing going on. I don't like groups of people. There's usually too many of them in close proximity. You know, it's a big planet. This isn't Tokyo. It's a big planet. You don't have to, like, be right on top of each other unless it's of a sexual nature. But you don't have to do that. We can spread out a little bit. There's farmland, you know? It's like free-range chickens, you know? If you're a chicken, you don't have a choice, right? You got to have a lot of chickens around you. I don't even understand what free-range... Cage-free is one of the terms, and free-range is the other. And as I don't like to Google because it's an admission that I'm like you, I don't Google. I just try to figure it out for myself. And sometimes I hit roadblocks, and if I can't figure it out for myself, then it's not worth figuring out. So you take a chicken, okay? And it's in a pen of some sort, right? You can't just let chickens run loose. They end up in the city across the street. You know what? Why the chicken crossed the road kind of thing. I have no idea, because I guess it was free range. I guess that's the answer. Free range. There is no range. It's just free to, I guess, do whatever it wants to do. I mean, it's very possible I could have been sitting at the bar having lunch and a chicken could have come in and sat right next to me. That's a free range chicken. Cage free. No cage for me, kids. I mean, cage-free just means instead of sitting in a cage, you can walk around the cage on the outside of it. I don't really... And, you know, I got to tell you something. I don't like to eat animals. I don't... I've talked about this on the show before. One of the great banes of my existence is the fact that I'll eat a chicken. I'll eat a chicken. I'm eating something that was alive that has been slaughtered for my delectation. It doesn't make me feel good. And I have a feeling if there is a heaven and I go there, they're going to say, Ron, that was not right. Anyway, so yeah, I'll eat chickens and things. I eat lobster too, but then lobsters. Oh God. I remember going to restaurants. They used to have this gigantic tank in the restaurant, in the center of the restaurant, and in it were these free-range lobsters, I guess. I don't know. No, I guess they were caged. And they're in this thing, and they're crawling over each other like a bunch of cockroaches. And I remember that you could walk up to this big tank of lobsters, and you could point to the one that you wanted to eat. And that's about as archaic as the human being gets, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, you don't go to a farm and walk up to a cow and say, I want that one, and well done, please. You don't do that. It is so Roman emperor kind of stuff, you know? It's just, you know, I choose to have that one slaughtered and beheaded and bring unto me with a fork and a bib. It just seems wrong, doesn't it? So I'm not into it. I'm not into it. I was on a business trip. I used to work for a company that used to send me around the country to do stuff. And I used to travel to the various branches, which were, again, countrywide. And I went to Cleveland one day. I was flown to Cleveland. It's not one of the things that you tell other people. Ron, can you highlight some of the great things you've done in your life? Yeah, I was flown to Cleveland once. Whoa. What's it like there? You know, it's not, you don't mention things like that. That's like saying, Ron, give me a highlight of your life. I went to New Jersey. You don't do that. You don't. That's not a highlight. So I'm in Cleveland, and I go to a restaurant because they pay for, you know, the meals and the hotel. Well, you know, it's fun a little bit. So I'm sitting in a restaurant, and it was a seafood restaurant. And the waiter comes over, nicely dressed in a tuxedo, and the waiter says, "Our special today is the trout." I said, "Oh, the trout." Well, it's a trout, and we will. It's filleted and very, very. It's a very nice trout. It's got an almondine sauce and asparagus and decoupled free range potatoes. I said, "Oh, sounds lovely." And I'm sitting there and I'm having a cocktail. I am sitting at a table because you don't go to a bar in a fancy restaurant and have a meal. You do go to a table, and there are other businessmen sitting at their own tables. So anyway, so I'm sitting there, and after waiting what seemed to be 17 hours, the waiter comes back with this beautiful, beautiful plate with parsley all over it and puts it in front of me, and there is the trout. And then there is a smaller saucer-type dish, which he also takes off of his tray and puts it down in front of me. And in this small dish, to the upper left-hand corner of the dinner plate, which has the trout on it, he sets down on this plate the head of that trout. Yes, the trout has been decapitated for my pleasure and my entertainment, and it has been placed solely, the head of the trout has been placed on this plate. And if I had the balls, and I didn't, I would have said to the waiter, "What the fuck are you doing? Why are you handing me the head of the trout on a separate plate? Am I supposed to eat it? What's the purpose of this?" But I didn't say anything because I kind of figured it out for myself. This is a fancy restaurant, and I guess what you do is you put the head of the fish on a separate plate so that it can be, so the fish can look back at you, I guess, and say, "Oh, you thought this was a good idea, huh? I've got children's back in the ocean." It's a horribly guilt-ridden thing to do. I since had found out that why they do that is the eyes of the trout, if they're nice and clear, it means that you got yourself a good fish there, man. So I guess that they're presenting the head to me to show that it is a it's a good, clear fish. Okay? You know what? I don't give a shit about the head of the fish. Even if the fish had glaucoma, it doesn't really matter at this time, at this point in my life. So I enjoyed the fish. It was very tasty, but all the time, the decapitated head is staring at me. You enjoying this? Hey, you enjoying this thing? Huh? You think this is good, huh? You enjoying this? I'm watching you with my head eat myself. This is weird. This is what the fish is saying. That's my impression of a fish. Oddly and obviously, I covered the fish head and made it actually face in the other direction. There was a lady sitting at a nearby table, and I made the fish head point toward her. And you could tell that she did not appreciate that. I have never seen that practice executed anywhere else, really. This was about 25, 30 years ago. Yeah, I was only 2 years old. That's right. Now, I've been around for a while. It's not my first rodeo. My guest is going to join us momentarily. But first, this little commercial word that should keep you kind of entertained for a short period of time.
Are you the sort of person who feels vicarious excitement at the prospect of a robust discount? Then you need to pay us a visit at Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values. Each and every day, our standard pricing model is an absolute affront to common retailing practices and could indeed be seen as an indication of mental instability. Consider, if you will, a 24-pack of your favorite coffee pods, if one happens to drink such a thing, a mere $2.99. Is that sensible in the least? No, I tell you, it is not. And what of this? Common t-shirts with witty sayings upon them, suitable for men, women, and children, depending upon how you've raised them, 10 for $6. This is uncanny pricing that quite simply flies in the face of all possible reason, and the only explanation for this behavior on my part is that I am not sane, frankly. Do not take my word for it. Instead, find your way here to Jerome Cherrington's Emporium of Preposterous Values, just off the motorway and beyond the roundabout, where our everyday retailing decisions are simply unnatural.
Hey, 5 times Ironman world champion and triathlete Craig Alexander joins us now. Thanks for being with us, Craig.
My pleasure. Thanks for the invitation to come on and have a chat.
Well, we're talking about some tips and advice on how to avoid sprains and other injuries while doing a physical fitness workout, which not a lot of us necessarily do. It's, you know, Craig, it's almost like either you're really into it or you're really not. I mean, is that accurate?
Yeah, I think it's like anything in life. You know, I know I can only speak for myself. I not only enjoyed the training, I just liked the whole atmosphere of being out there with other athletes. But I think that's the secret sauce in life, isn't it? Finding something that you like doing. And there's, you know, exercise takes a lot of different forms.
Yeah, it does. And of course, we don't all have to train to be a triathlete. But at the same time, I've heard 1,000 times that moving your body around on a regular basis is a good thing.
Oh, it's the best medicine. You know, you don't have to be trying to win world titles. It's just lifestyle. I think health and fitness, it's sports. Sports opens a lot of doors, I think, and it's just, for me now, my days of winning world titles are long behind me. I just, for mental health, I like to train, and also just to keep up with the kids. It's all about lifestyle these days.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to influence others, and that's what you're doing. We're talking about how to prevent injuries, and I know that a big thing for you is listening to your body. What exactly does that mean?
I think it's just being intuitive and understanding the signals that your body's giving you. You know, when you're training consistently, fatigue is one thing, soreness, but you're also trying to prevent injuries coming on, and there's a lot of different ways you do that. You focus on your recovery. You know, I always start with getting enough sleep and proper eating. That's always the starting point for trying to recover so you can train consistently. But there's also a lot of technology and products that you can use in your training to keep you on the, you know, on the training paddock so that you never miss a day.
Is it possible to actually get injured from exercising too much or incorrectly?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, repetitive strain injuries or overloading your body when it's not ready can lead to injuries. But there's a lot of things you can do. I mean, something I used to do a lot throughout my career was taping. I used to tape my ankles, my Achilles tendon when it would get sore, my knee at different times. So I think the first thing is being vigilant and listening to your body for those sorts of signs and symptoms that your body's getting very fatigued and sore, and that's potentially when injuries can happen. And there's a lot of things you can do to be proactive. You know, they say prehab is better than rehab.
True. There are a lot of people who are reaching the age of seniors, let's call the senior category, and they didn't really, you know, exercise all that much through life, but their physicians are telling them to start doing exercise programs. I think a lot of them may be a little bit scared about injuring themselves in the process or how to deal with injuries by exercising. Do you have any advice for seniors?
Yeah, well, seek advice always from an expert, but start slowly. Just be patient. I mean, walking is exercise. There's a lot of things that are non-weight-bearing that are good for your body and your cardiovascular system. Swimming, cycling, hiking. So I think the main thing is just to be consistent, do it as regularly as you can, don't overload in the beginning, be very patient, just start slow, and again, listen to the body, make sure you're getting enough sleep when you are training and eating well.
Yes, eating well has a lot to do with it too. It's just the whole body experience, I guess. What happens? Yeah. What happens when you have an injury? Like, you know, you wake up in the morning and your leg hurts a little bit, and it stays with you for 2-3 days. I mean, can you kind of correct this by exercise, or when's the time to see a doctor?
Yeah, it's a great question. I was very lucky. I started doing triathlon. I was partway through a physiotherapy degree in college. So my education was based around that very question. Mm-hmm. I think you just got to learn to understand the difference between a little bit of fatigue and soreness and the pain of injury. Uh-huh. But you've got to be proactive as well with your recovery. There's lots of things you can do when you're training to recover better. As I said, one thing I used to do was I used to do a lot of taping to uh-huh. just provide some support to structures that were sore or injured. I used to use a topical analgesia, roll-on. You know, as I said to you before, my racing days are long behind me, but a lot of the athletes who I now advise and work with, I recommend the Curate Performance series of products. They mm-hmm. have a really great analgesic spray for muscle soreness, which just enables you to train more consistently, to recover between sessions. And mm-hmm. and that's, as you mentioned, that's just as important for someone starting in the sport as it is for a world champion. But moving well is important. Mm-hmm. I use K-tape a lot too, so just to sort of promote good functional movement patterns, to provide support. There's a lot of new technology in some of these K-tapes, infrared technology that promotes increased blood flow to regions and helps with recovery. So there's a lot of things that you can do to make your sort of exercising experience really pleasurable and pain-free.
Yeah, I've noticed that. There are entire sections in pharmacies and in stores and even in supermarkets. So they have these incredible number of alternatives and options where I guess when you were training originally, I don't know how old you are, but I assume the technology in this muscle pain relief and is considerably different now.
Yeah, well, I'm nearly 50. I'll be 50 this year. So, okay. You know, it's true. I mean, I think the topical analgesias are much better these days, much more effective, mm-hmm. provide a lot more relief. And certainly, as I said, I always taped when I had compromised areas, but it was more for support. Yeah. There's different technology in the tape now, particularly this infrared technology in Curad K-tape that mm-hmm. offers pain management and increases blood flow. So really good recovery benefits. And like all areas of life, I mean, technology advancements, they just infiltrate eventually. And I think it's yeah. important to be across all these new ideas because they That's can make true. The whole experience just a lot yeah. more pleasurable.
Sometimes it's even overwhelming how many choices there are. So where would we go?
Yeah.
Is there a website that where the products are really worth looking at?
Yeah, there's a lot of products out there, as you mentioned. The ones that I've mm-hmm. been recommending to the athletes I work with, again, it's the Curad Performance Series. So uh-huh. you can just head to their website, curad.com, and mm-hmm. They're stocked in Walmart. You could also head to amazon.com.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Let me just ask you one question out of curiosity, which is kind of off the beaten path here. How did you get so involved in the sport and in taking care of your body and becoming a triathlete and a world champion? Was there a point in your life where you just decided this, or were you always in tune to this? How did that work for you?
No, I was always into sport, but I played mainly other sports growing up, team uh-huh. sports. And when I was at college, I was probably indulging in the college lifestyle a little too much. And yeah, just I always had this fire burning within me just to push myself. So uh-huh. I started uh-huh. jogging to get in shape, and that led to triathlons. And uh-huh. yeah, I found it was a good sport for me. It really appealed to me. I had, I guess, some natural physical talent, but uh-huh. more so it appealed to me mentally, the challenge of it. And I just became obsessed with the training every day.
Yeah.
And improving. It wasn't even about winning. It was just about pushing myself and getting better. So, yeah, my journey started late, but better late than never, as they say.
Well, certainly a lot of accomplishments under your belt, so congratulations with that. The website to visit is curad.com and see what they have to offer you. Craig, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. Continued success. Well, that'll do it for me today. You've been wonderful as usual. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program, but until that time arrives, I wish you peace.